Okay, so we've been in the middle of discussing the parallels between all the differences, I would say, between the Baal HaKimia and a Baal HaBitachon. We said that a Baal HaKimia, which is translated here as an alchemist, is this person who can turn silver into gold or turn any materials into silver. And we mentioned when we introduced him a few weeks ago, this alchemist, we mentioned that really the alchemist is a reference for every sort of job. As in every job, every way of making money in the world is you're giving something to get something better.
I couldn't understand why we took alchemist.
Just because the alchemist is the...
Something
the
specific
alchemist is,
profession.
The alchemist is basically what we would call a multimillionaire, like a person who, whatever he does, he just has mazel in it. He could take silver, as in someone that could take silver and turn it into gold. They basically sold to someone that could take any material. He could take wood and turn it into silver. But we said that even if you have that skill that you could take wood and turn it into silver, there's still 10 setbacks that you can have, which Baal HaBitachon doesn't have. Now, this is not to say that a person shouldn't work. A person should work. A person needs to use his skills. A person needs to interact with the world. However, you should not rely on the work as being the cause of the result. So if a person is working, if this alchemist, he doesn't trust Hashem, that Hashem is making the money for him, that Hashem is giving him money. He trusts his own abilities to be able to take wood and turn it into silver. His skill set that he has, that's what he is trusting for the money.
Reminds me of Vidal Bavel.
Of?
Avanik Chakmalo. Vidal Bavel. They decided they will build that. They will become...
They thought that they can reach the top. Okay, so we're going to go into the fourth way. The fourth way that a Baal HaKimia, that this alchemist, will be paralleled to the Boteach Melekim. So, Vaharavi, the fourth manner in which a person who has Bitachon is superior to the alchemist, Ki Baal HaKimia, Eino Nimlat, Mehazmin, Mehazar, Vahakesef Harbe, Le'esarchai, Oishla Yazmin, Mehem Klum, Elo Kafisha Yaspik, Lizman Muat. The alchemist must either prepare an abundance of gold and silver for a time when he will need it, or prepare just the right amount for the interim. So we need to carry on reading, and then we'll understand what the two sides are. Either way, the alchemist is constantly in a state of anxiety. Ve'im yazmin mimenu harbe, if he prepares a lot, yia kol yomov mefachid al nafshei shelo yovad mimenu b'minei sibois ha'aveda. He will constantly be afraid that he will somehow lose the silver or the gold that he has already produced. He will not be able to feel calm or relaxed due to fear of the king who might take it away from him and due to fear of the people who might steal it from him. If, on the other hand, he only prepares enough gold and silver to last for a short amount of time, a situation might arise where he will not be able to make more. He might run into an issue where he will not be able to produce more due to lack of necessary materials at a time when he will be in great need of them. So he says here, in both of the above scenarios, the alchemist is worried that he might be left penniless. Either he is afraid that whatever silver or gold he has amassed will be seized or stolen from him, or he is afraid that he will be potentially left with nothing as a result of the inability to produce more. So we'll see in a second how it would be different for someone with trust in God. But essentially what he's saying is that the alchemist has a catch 22. Right now, he knows how to turn silver into gold. Right now, he knows how to turn wood into silver. But he's not only worried, because there's so many things that he needs to be able to turn wood into silver, all machinery, he needs different, the materials, he needs time. Because he needs all these things, so at a time when he's got lots of extras of all the raw materials, he's going to want to make for himself for the future, which is essentially the idea of putting money into some sort of investment. Except that here he is growing the money now, meaning that it's not an investment that's going to go up in price. It's just going to be up in value for him because he's doing it now whilst they have time. So that next year, when there might be a shortage of wood, I will still have my money, I'll still have my silver and gold. The issue with that, though, as he says here, is that he then has to protect all this silver and gold. He has to buy new safes, he has to buy video cameras, and he's always going to be worried that someone is going to come and steal his money from him, or that the king is going to confiscate it. And the other, on the flip side, if he doesn't prepare now for the future, then he's always worried about how is he going to have all of the materials and everything that he needs in the future to be able to produce this. So he is stuck either way. If he does have extra for tomorrow and next week and next year, then he's going to be worried that he might not have it, that it might get taken from him. And if he doesn't have, he's going to be worried that he might not have it because he won't have the ability to...
So he's a compromising.
...to produce it. Yeah, and then, but his issue isn't that he knows how to use the skill. His issue is that he's relying on the skill. So if he's relying on his skill, he's thinking to himself, okay, I'm relying on myself. So either I need to make more for now for the future because the future me is relying on me now to be able to make it. Or he's not worried about the future, as in he's not holding on now for the future, but he is now worried, how will my skills help me in the future? In the future, there might not be what's available. So either way, he's going to have this worry. Let's see how it... contrast with the Baal HaBitachon. V'habiteach b'elikim b'tchoynoi chozok b'elikim sheyatrif oisoi kiritzoynoi b'eish sheyirtze uv'mokim sheyirtze. However, a person who trusts God strongly trusts that Hashem will sustain him as he wishes, at the time he wishes, as in he being Hashem, not the person, will sustain him as he wishes, at the time he wishes, and in the place that he wishes. Just as kashe yatrif ha'uba b'rechem imoi v'ha'efrayach Besoich habeitza. Continue this way. Yeah, it's an English book. Kasha yatrif ha'uba berechem imoy va ha'efrayach. Just as Hashem sustains a fetus in its mother's womb and a chicken inside the egg, va ha'efrayach besoich habeitza asher ein ba makoyim mefurash lehikonis elav mimeno dava michutza. Neither of which has an opening through which food can enter to sustain it. God provides each of its sustenance, even though there seems to be no natural source. Similarly, God provides sustenance for the birds in the air and the fish in the water, both of which lack readily accessible food, and he provides for the ant and the worm despite their frailty. Contrast this with the fact that sometimes even the lion, despite its strength, lacks sustenance. Young lions suffer want and are hungry, but those who seek the Lord do not lack any good. Hashem will not starve the soul of a righteous person. I was young, I also aged, and I have not seen a righteous man forsaken and his children seeking bread. So, the alchemist, in terms of looking into the future, he's got a catch-22. If he prepares now, he has to hold on to the stuff. If he doesn't prepare now, he's worried that he might not have the means to be able to prepare. Whilst when you believe in Hashem, we realize that Hashem created us and Hashem created the world. And the same way that Hashem feeds the fetus inside the mother's womb and a chicken inside the egg and the fish in the sea and the bird in the sky, Hashem will feed all of us. And therefore, we don't need to worry about what the future holds because Hashem will look after us in the future like he does look after all his creatures. And the psukim that I bought... the psukim that I bought, they all mention the Dorish Hashem lo yachshu chol tov lo yarif Hashem nefesh tzaddik, and the last one is v'lo isi tzaddik ne'ezov. So it's talking about only a righteous person can rely, because you can only, as in Hashem looks after everyone. We know that Hashem is looking after everyone. To be able to rely on it, you have to be righteous, because if you are not righteous, you from yourself won't be able to rely on Hashem, meaning that Hashem is still going to give. Even the alchemist, Hashem is still going to give him when he needs. When he needs food, if he doesn't have any of his materials and he's starving, eventually Hashem is going to give him food, because Hashem looks after everyone. We say, Tov Hashem l'kol v'rachma v'kol ma'asav. That Hashem is good to everyone and he has mercy on everyone.
We're talking about an Olam Hazeh situation with the alchemist. With those psukim, you can only really explain them with Olam Haba, because there were old people, righteous people that were forsaken and didn't have food, right? So you can only explain those psukim, that you can only understand those psukim if you're thinking of really Olam Haba, because there's no evidentiary, you know, the people are poor and people go hungry, and so the...
Poor and going hungry is two... Firstly, it's two separate things, but yeah, I hear where you come from. There's an entire sefer written by the Ramchal called Das Tvunas. I've only just started it, so I don't know where it goes to, but in the introduction pages, he that basically has a conversation between the seichel and the neshama, as in the brain and the heart. I just got a translated version this week, and it translates it as a teacher and a student. And basically, it's the heart asking the brain all these sorts of questions. Sadik v'ralei, rosh v'tovlei, is a concept that we know that it does look like sometimes that tzaddikim are getting punished, and the rishayim are getting, and the rishayim are getting prizes. There is bad people who are seemingly living a much more like a luxurious lifestyle than some of the tzaddikim who, like you say, seem to be.
What is a luxurious lifestyle?
Yeah. Who seem to be very poor. The truth is that this question that you asked, it's interesting how you asked it, about the difference between Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. A real tzaddik is living Olam Haba in this world. Meaning, if you go into some random kollel in Bnei Brak, random kollel, don't go to one of the big things. If you go into a random yeshiva or like a random kollel, there could be people sitting in there that literally eat a slice of bread every day. Yet, they are the happiest people. They are way, way, way happier. They don't look at it. They themselves don't look at it as a lacking. If they have just what they need, just the energy to get them through the day, then they don't look at it as lacking. We can look at them, and from our perspective, it could look like they are lacking. It's a subject that does get spoken about later. These psukim that it's talking about, seemingly it's talking about in this world, because David HaMelech is saying, "Nar hayisi gam zoganti." I was young, I also age, and I have not seen a righteous man that was forsaken and his children seeking bread. Now, ultimately, the way that the world works is that we do get tested. That there's constant tests. People can one day, like in the crash in 2008, I know a lot of people very well who were like right at the top of the game in whatever industry it was, and in a split second everything's gone. The fact that a tzaddik is still here, ultimately, the main idea of bitachon is trust and belief that Hashem wants you to be here. Trust and belief that Hashem loves you, that Hashem cares about you. And when you have that, then suddenly, firstly, you start to notice more of a differentiation between needs and wants. There's lots of things that we need, and there's even more things that we want. Bitachon, people often try to use it to get all the things that they want, but bitachon doesn't specially lead to the things that you want, but it is guaranteed that it will always lead to the things that you need. And if it's leading, and if it's not leading to something that you need, you normally don't actually need it. And you see people like, that's the idea of the wording, Gamzu L'tova, and Kol Man D'Avad Rachmanon L'Tavavid, that to realize that everything that Hashem does is for the good, which means that if someone doesn't have food one day, and they don't have, they like physically don't have a thing, what are they going to do right then? Are they going to go to be like the alchemist to try and make things work? Or are they going to go pray? Because if they go pray, then, and they believe that by praying, and they believe that by davening, that Hashem is going to give them food, because food is a basic right, that Hashem gives to everyone, then great. However, when they do it, they have to realize, a bal bitachon, it's not about the result. It's not Hashem, I need food now. It's not Hashem, I need money for this, or I need money for that. What bal bitachon really is, it's Hashem, I know that what you're already doing, everything that you do is already good. I just can't see it. So help me see it. Help me be able to accept it. Help me see how the situation that looks awful can be good. And ultimately, as in there is no, like, the gedolim in the past and the gedolim currently, like, they have all had their own test. Like Avraham Avinu also had, you know, there was famines and they had to go. There was no food. There was no Yaakov and his sons. They had to go down to Egypt when there was no food. Now, it says that Hashem looks after everyone. So Hashem did look after them, because when they went down to Mitzrayim, they had to go to Mitzrayim, and that was part of Hashem looking after them, because that was part of Hashem's bigger plan. But ultimately, the question of Sadik Virala and Rosh Tovla is a question that is difficult to answer.
It's in a full perspective, vice versa.
Huh?
It's a complete transforming vice versa perspective. You respect perspectiveness. You know, perspectiveness is a really very interesting thing. You respect perspectiveness. I did once a thing. The three words of the Mishulasha, the triangle of perspectiveness, respectiveness, and I always forget the third one. But it works out amazingly that every one of those has influence on the other. Respecting, and that's why we speak of trusting When you build trust onto someone, you're actually strengthening his trust. We talked about, and the last few days I spoke to my friends and people, it just came out. Wow. You get to a point when respecting someone actually causes him to, you transform it to him, respecting and respect to you. Maybe I'm touching it,
yeah.
It is true. It is, and it's a parallelogram, it always works.
Right, beautiful. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to the fifth reason. First, did you? I'd be interested to hear what you got out of the answer, because firstly, we've discussed it a bit, and really that's where this whole book leads to, because this whole book, Bitochen, is not about changing outcomes, it's about accepting what is already in the reality of things.
I think he's contrasting the Da Nafshit of the alchemist to the, as in the Boteach. And so the Boteach is putting himself in a level where he trusts, right? He may not get food, but even if he doesn't get food, then he has trust, and therefore he doesn't have the same anxiety that the alchemist had, which is, I need to go and make some more money, because tomorrow I'm not going to have money. But if I make some more money, somebody might take it away from me. The person who trusts is going to be okay, because it's going to be okay. So I was just interested in those psukim.
Meaning?
I was interested you brought those psukim, because you can sort of only really, certainly the last one, explain it away by saying, well, he's probably talking about, well, so maybe David HaMelech is really saying that's the Emda Nafshit of a tzaddik, that he has the Botef, that he's trusting in, that a righteous person is never forsaken. And it's just metaphorical whether there's bread or not at the end of the day.
I don't think it is. I hear what you're saying, but it's not a metaphor. The fact that tzaddikim don't, like, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, yeah? He didn't work a day in his life. Yeah? Now, he also got to a stage where he didn't need very much. He needed maybe a few shekel to buy another safe or another pen. But ultimately, he was eating, he had what he needed. He lived, I think, till 91. So he lived 91 years. And had you asked him on any one of those days, on the 91 years, are you happy today? Yes.
No, I was gonna say,
are you worried about tomorrow? Absolutely not.
He was rich, you could feel divine richness. I used to come and say Shabbos to ask questions.
Oh, really?
Wow.
And
wow.
There is, but like you say,
because they,
yes and no.
The way the alchemist relates to material things is more, and
the way that the alchemist, so the alchemist, because he himself believes that it's koichi v'etzemodi, that my hands make this. So he believes that his ability to eat tomorrow depends on what he's capable of doing now. If I am able, if I have all my materials and I'm able to do the process, and there's no power cuts in the middle, and the gas doesn't run out, and everything, if everything goes to plan, then I'm going to be able to eat tomorrow.
It's a system.
That in particular is talking about more of a spiritual thing. This is not preparing for the next day because he needs it the next day. He's preparing for the next day because he's worried.
I don't think it's for the next day. I believe that it's continuous.
He's doing it for the future. Anyway, once we get to the end of the 10, because in each of them, because he's just trying to make 10 different points, we'll see lots of them are actually quite similar. These three verses speak about how a person who trusts in God is taken care of and therefore has no reason to be fearful. So I want to see maybe the verses. Okay.
By the way, the word yatrif here,
yeah,
raises me lukim yatrif. Hmm. I've never seen it like translated as will sustain.
Sustain. Yatrif.
Jesus can say yatrif, or uber, or
yatrif.
Yatrif.
What is yatrif actually? I'm trying to think about.
How would you translate yatrif?
Usually, it's the opposite. This sort of like making crazy. Milashon.
Maturaf.
Maturaf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, let's try to do the fifth one. V'hachemishi, the fifth manner in which a person who has bitachon is superior to the alchemist. Shabal hakimia, teichas yira v'fachad al mnachtoi min hagodol v'ad hakoton shaba'om. The alchemist is in a constant state of fear and dread due to his occupation. He is afraid of all people, from the most important man in the nation, the king, down to the least important. So he says here in the footnotes, because we already had In number three, Gibar Kamina, Enoi Mamin al Sodo Zulasoi, Mei Rosse al Nafshoi. So in number three, we had that he needs to be very secretive, because he was scared of the government. He was scared of the government going and arresting him. And this time, it says that he's afraid of everyone. So in the footnotes, he is afraid that the king or judges will find out what he is doing and confiscate his gold or silver. Similarly, he is afraid that if other people find out, they will inform on him.
From envy.
Yeah. The habiteach berakim. However, someone who trusts in Hashem, yira'uhu hagadolim ve nichbadei bnei adam, he will be held in awe by the great and respectable people. Afachayas vohavonim mevakshim ritzona. Even animals and stones will seek to do his will. K'moshe nema b'mizmor, yoshev b'seisa elyon, adach v'yisei v'oyme b'sheish soris yatzilecha, v'sheva l'yiga b'chara, b'rav podcha mimavis ad seif ha'inyan. Even animals and stones will seek to do his will and will cause him no harm, as it says, he who dwells in a secret place of the Most High, from the beginning of the psalm until the end. So if you have a look at the first footnote here, in this chapter of Tehillim, which the author quotes by its opening verse alone, and in the following quotation of Eov, scripture mentions a special covenant that the person who has bitachon has with the stones of the field and the animals of the wild. This verse in Eov also describes how God saves a man from all sorts of troubles. They are quoted as further proof that even the animals and inanimate objects will not harm a person who has bitachon. V'hashishi, the sixth manner in which a person who has bitachon is superior to the alchemist, shabal hakimia, enoi batuach, me hecheloyim v'hamadvim shem arbevim olav simchosoi ba'oshroi v'enon manichem oisei lehonos b'mash yeshloi v'loiles aneg b'mash yesigo yodoi. The alchemist is not protected from sickness and disease, which disturb his contentment with his wealth and prevent him from deriving benefit from his possessions. Similarly, they stop the alchemist from enjoying the wealth that he has amassed as a result of his toil. So what he's saying here, that an alchemist can have all the money in the world, he might have been able to produce loads of silver into gold, but then he won't be feeling well and won't be able to enjoy spending his wealth or using his wealth. A person who trusts in God is protected from disease and sickness, Ella al derech hakapara oy al derech hatumora, except for disease and sickness that he is subject to as a means of atonement, or to increase his reward in the next world. So I think this kind of answers, or starts to answer the question that you asked earlier. But let's just read the psukim and then we'll speak it out outside. V'yafu na'orim v'yigo uvachurim kosho likoshelo va'omar v'kayv Hashem yachlifu koyach va'omar kizroes v'shoyim tishavarnam v'semach tzedikim Hashem. As it is written, now youth shall become tired and weary, and young men shall stumble. In the following verse it says, for those who put their hope in the Lord shall renew their vigour. And as it says in the verse, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord supports the righteous. So, again, we know that people do get ill. So, he's obviously not saying that someone who relies on his money gets ill, and someone who doesn't rely on his money doesn't get ill. What he's saying in the contrast is he's saying that the Baal Hakimiyah, imagine a person thinking that their ability, their skill of turning wood into gold is their own skill. And this is my survival mode that I have to do, and I have to do as much of it as possible to make sure, because as soon as this runs out, I'm done in this world. If he then gets an illness, if he did a whole month of production, he's got loads and loads and loads of gold, and then he gets ill. To him, the whole thing, like all the work that he did, is suddenly useless. Because to him, he was doing all this work for him to be able to survive, and now he is ill, he can't enjoy the money, he can't do anything with it. Whilst a son who believes in Hashem, who believes that everything comes from Hashem, if he does get ill, then the illness doesn't affect what he already has. He doesn't look at it as the illness is holding him back from what he has. Why? Because he says that such a person will see the disease and the sickness as a means of atonement, or to be able to increase his reward in the next world. Meaning that he won't look at it as this is taking away from me now. He will look at it as this is adding to me. How is it adding to me? How can illness add? Because it's adding, because it's going to help me get a better place in Gan Eden. let's read the footnotes here, just because this first one is from the Lubavitcher Rebbe's commentary, and tonight is the Lubavitcher Rebbe's Yahrzeit, Gimel Tammuz. Atonement. The calamity has befallen him to atone for a sin that he transgressed, and the suffering is cleansing his body so that when he passes away, his soul will leave this world in the same pure state as when it entered. By being punished physically in this world, he will not need to be punished for the sin in the world to come, because mild suffering in this world saved a person from severe punishment in the next world. Or, we said, the other option is that this illness is to increase his reward in the next world. Another reason for suffering, the author explained, is that physical pain in this world is exchanged for spiritual reward. The Talmud teaches that when Moshe was shown the death of Rebbe Akiva, whose skin was scraped with metal forks by the Romans, Moshe asked Hashem, is this the reward of Torah study? The Lashon is Zu Torah of Zuz Chayra. God replied, Shtoik kach ala beretzoni. This is generally translated as silence. This is my will. However, it can also be understood on a mystical level through a more literal translation of the word silence. Because through this physical pain, he will be elevated, as in Shtoik, silence. Why? Because kach ala beretzoni. Through this, he's going to be elevated beretzoni. Not that.